It's 2:47. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. The last couple of months have been quite eventful for Patrick Walsh. He's a recent graduate of the University of Illinois. He graduated this past December. And last week, he was honored with the 2008 Lemelson, Illinois Student Prize. The prize is awarded to a student who, in the words of the College of Engineering, has created or improved a product or process, applied a technology in a new way, redesigned a system, or demonstrated remarkable inventiveness in other ways. Patrick Walsh won the award for designing a battery-powered, solar-charged LED lamp. The innovative lamp holds great promise for being a brighter, safer, and less expensive light for people around the globe who don't have electricity or who have an unreliable source of electricity. Patrick Walsh is my guest in this portion of the program. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, how's it going?
Fine. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Well, what are you calling this lamp? What does it look like? How does it work?
The lamp is called the Solar Flare, and we call it that because it's powered by sunlight. Sunlight charges a battery, and that battery powers some small light bulbs, which these light bulbs provide enough light to replace the lamps that people currently use in developing countries, which are generally fuel-based, fuel-burning lamps, kerosene lamps, oil lamps, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so now, folks, we'll have an opportunity to put those lamps away. What will that mean for people who currently rely on fuel lamps?
Well, the first thing it means is they don't have to buy kerosene every month. And that's a huge problem for people who are only earning $1, $1.50 a day in countries like India and all over sub-Saharan Africa. These folks are spending right now 5-10% of their income, which is meager to begin with, on fuel supplies. So with a solar-powered lamp, they don't have to purchase that kerosene.
Yeah.
So it's great from that perspective, and then it also allows you to do more things at night when you'd otherwise be stuck in the dark.
Yeah. How much light does one lamp throw off?
It's fairly equivalent to a nice, bright flashlight, and the light is a little bit more distributed than that, so it lights up a room better than a flashlight. But it's not incredibly bright. It's designed to be replacement technology and designed to be inexpensive. So,
yeah, it's also got to be safer because you don't have to worry about knocking it over.
Absolutely. Yeah, these kerosene lamps that are used by over a billion people in the world are causing, you know, fires, thousands of fires, on a monthly basis in India alone. And so, you know, kids get burned, and even if there's no fire, there are health risks because you're burning a fuel-based lamp indoors, and all of those carcinogens are just wafting up into the small, one-room home. So it's a big problem.
Yeah, so better air quality and better public health as well.
That's right.
I understand that this lamp's beginnings go back to a trip you made to India as part of a delegation of Engineers Without Borders. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you learn on that trip, and when did the idea for this lamp begin to percolate?
Well, the idea came while we were getting ready for that trip. What actually inspired it was these solar-powered garden lights that you might have seen around people's yards in some cases. They're basically accent lighting, and that can be very inexpensive, you know, $2 or $3 a piece. So we realized that, you know, there are so many people using kerosene lamps, which also are very dim, and figured we could, you know, create a replacement technology, especially here at the University of Illinois, where we've got the professor Nick Holonyak, who invented the LED back in 1962. So it's, you know, interesting to be working in this environment.
Yeah. Now, I suspect there's also a market for this lamp in the U.S. and in Europe. Is that true?
We think that there could be. There are already solutions on the market for camping, and our design is basically optimized for use every day. So campers might find a different design more useful.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a bunch of examples of sort of companies doing business in the developing world, like One Laptop Per Child, who basically sell their products in Western markets in order to do some fundraising for developing countries. So that's one option.
Yeah. Is the lamp in production?
Not quite. We've only got prototypes. We built about 65 prototypes in India and sold them directly to people in villages, but those were not mass-produced. They're, you know, built by hand. So we're going to China in the next month or so to set up the mass production.
Yeah, wow. What will it cost to make, and what will the cost be to consumers?
The manufacturing cost is under $10.
Uh-huh.
And the goal is to get them off the shelf to consumers significantly under $20. So, you know, that's a price where people, you know, in India can actually pay for that out of savings in a lot of cases. In some cases, they need some kind of microcredit in order to afford them, but they pay for themselves in the long term.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, it's the price of 4 or 5 gallons of fuel in some places in the world.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. When do you think you might see the first shipment roll out of a factory in China?
We're hoping for May, and the first shipment will be basically a sample quantity for sales and marketing purposes. And after that, as soon as we get some orders, we can do 10,000 units a week. So.
Well, did you ever think when you enrolled at the U of I you'd become an entrepreneur?
I didn't even plan to be an engineer, to tell you. It was that trip to India that really got me interested in that.
Yeah.
And when I got here, I thought I was going to be a physicist. So it was just right away the project in India kind of took over my life, and I've been working on it ever since. So.
Yeah, wow. What do you see out down the line after this product is launched and on shelves?
I think I'm just really interested in developing technologies that can help, you know, in developing countries. I find walking around the United States, it's hard to be an engineer around here because everything's so well accomplished already in terms of engineering. In India, you know, and in other developing countries, there are just so many opportunities to help with engineering, and really, you know, change people's lives with small improvements.
Yeah. Well, may you have many satisfactory challenges ahead of you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, again, congratulations.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Patrick Walsh. Last week, he was honored with the 2008 Lemelson, Illinois Student Prize. The prize is awarded to a student who, in the words of the College of Engineering, has created or improved a product, a process, applied a technology in a new way, redesigned a system, or demonstrated remarkable inventiveness in other ways. The $30,000 prize is funded through a partnership with the Lemelson MIT program, which has awarded the $30,000 Lemelson MIT Student Prize to outstanding student inventors at MIT since 1995. And Patrick Walsh, his invention, a battery-powered, solar-charged LED lamp. It holds great promise for being a brighter, safer, and less expensive light for people around the globe who don't have electricity or who have an unreliable source of electricity.
Earth and Sky.
Tuesday, March 4th, 2008. Before dawn Wednesday morning, look toward the place where the sun will rise for the thin, waning crescent moon very near a dazzling point of light.
As seen from the northern hemisphere, they're low in the sky before dawn now, but so bright you can't miss them if you have an unobstructed eastern horizon. The moon and Venus are together on March 4th, but even closer before dawn on March 5th. You'll be surprised by how bright Venus appears, even when it's low in the sky.
And if you see a speck of light hovering above Venus before sunrise, that'll be the planet Mercury. Mercury and Venus are the first and second planets outward from the sun. Earth is the third planet, but Mercury isn't as bright as Venus. If you can't spot it with the eye alone, try gazing toward the eastern horizon with binoculars. Venus and Mercury will occupy the same binocular field of view, with fainter Mercury just above Venus.
You can also look for another planet, the largest one in our solar system, Jupiter. It's recognizable for being the brightest thing up before dawn besides the Moon and Venus. As seen from this hemisphere, you'll find Jupiter to the right of Venus and the Moon before dawn on Wednesday, March 5th. From the southern hemisphere, Jupiter is above the Moon and Venus Wednesday morning. I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support comes from Community Shares of Illinois with their fifth annual Share a Meal with Community Shares on Tuesday, March 11th. Participating restaurants donate a portion of their proceeds to local nonprofits working to feed the hungry, house the homeless, protect civil liberties, and more. Local restaurants include Paja Mediterranean Cuisine and Mezzaluna Italian Restaurant. A full list is at share-a-meal.org.
And let's take a look now at the latest weather-related announcements in terms of cancellations and postponements and the like. As far as the schools go in Champaign and Urbana, all extracurricular activities for Urbana District 116 schools are canceled for tonight. The District 116 Board of Education meeting and the after-school child care program are still on as scheduled. Meanwhile, in Champaign, Champaign Community Unit School District 4 is canceling all after-school activities that require district transportation. Other after-school activities not requiring district transportation will remain as scheduled. The Central High School boys basketball sectional game at Mount Zion has been postponed due to weather. The game will be played on Wednesday night at 7:30 in the same location. Game tickets and fan bus seats are still available. Tickets will be sold through the athletic office until 1 p.m. on Wednesday, tomorrow afternoon. And students must submit a permission slip to ride the fan bus before 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Any tickets already purchased will be honored at Wednesday's game. So Urbana District 116 schools, all extracurricular activities canceled for tonight. Meanwhile, in Champaign, Unit 4 canceling all after-school activities that require district transportation. And the Champaign County Board Clock and Bell Tower Committee and Facilities Committee meetings are canceled for tonight. It's coming up on 3 o'clock Central Time. You're tuned to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frain is our technical director this afternoon. The producer for the afternoon magazine is Harriet Williamson. Up next, it's The World from PRI and the BBC. Stay tuned.